Got a real big challenge ahead of us this week. By far, the best team that we've played. Not only just talent and coaching, but also the environment we're going to be walking into. You know, Scott's done a great job here of building this team up. He's increased the talent, picked up some really good players. Both sides of the ball. Yeah, they do a really good job of stretching you horizontally and get you a tempo on offense, and then on defense, a lot of different looks and very well coached. So this is going to be by far the biggest challenge of the year for us, going on the road, night game at one of the toughest places to play in a conference. So we get going today with practice and looking for a good week.
We'll open up with questions, front row middle, Dave.
Ryan, when you and your staff get together and talk about some of your guys, who's a guy or two maybe that you think needs to play more, will play more going forward?
Just on the whole team?
Yeah, just in general, yeah.
What we kind of do is we kind of go by position and figure out who deserves to play. And that's what was so great about last week was the guys were able to get in the second half. We were able to get, real good grades and a bunch of meaningful snaps in there that we could, grade and figure out where they're at. So, I don't think there's one guy in particular. I think there's a lot of guys who are proving themselves, and the more reps you get in games, the better it is. That's why that was so meaningful last week.
At punt returner, Garrett Wilson looked pretty good in that role. I know it was just one game, but how do you see his role progressing as a punt returner?
I think it's going to progress, especially when he does things like he did, which was hit a big return. But we'll kind of see as we go. But the more he can take on, the better for him. He's still a very young player, but obviously very talented, and the more he can take on, the more we'll give him.
Ryan, Adrian Martinez is going to be the best quarterback that you've seen so far, maybe the best athlete. Can you talk a little bit about what he brings? It's so difficult to defend, and also what will you do differently this week specifically to prepare for what he can do?
Yep, Adrian's a very talented young man. He's obviously a great kid. We recruited him and spent a bunch of time with him. I recruited him and love he and his family. Great competitor, great leader, got a great way about him. On the field, he's big and strong and powerful. He's very athletic. So, in terms of the run game, his ability to extend plays with his feet, you got to get him on the ground, which is not easy. He's explosive, he's fast, he's strong, and has good running skills, makes good decisions. And then throwing the ball, he's really accurate. So I think when you combine that together of, the ability to run and throw along with his intelligence and game management, he is by far the best quarterback we've seen.
Right behind him, Bill.
Ryan, you talked a lot about Justin's ability to create plays and allowing him to do that. I don't know if every head coach would allow his quarterback to do that, especially a young one. I'm just wondering, were you that way at all as a quarterback, and might that inform why you're allowing him to play that way?
Well, I just think that, it certainly helps when you've played the position, then you've done it, so you understand how it works. But he's a guy who, you saw him try to create one and took a sack the other day, but then you saw him also create run and scramble. Then you saw him create and hit a fourth down to Rashad Berry. So that's kind of what we've been talking about, is that he's got to learn from his mistakes and learn from his successes, and when it's time to go ahead and scramble, when it's time to throw it away, when it's time sometimes to take a sack, when it's time to get out of bounds, all those things. And very, very difficult to, organize and practice. You're not live. It's just very, very different. And so, the more he gets experience in that, we get back on the film, and when we teach him off the film, then I think the better he'll be at making those decisions.
Did you consider yourself a creative guy when you were playing quarterback?
I don't know how I'd describe myself. I think my intelligence certainly helped my level of play more than my athleticism.
I think people wonder a lot about different coordinators and play callers sort of meshing together, but how important is it for the offensive play caller and the quarterback to be on the same page, and where do you think you and Justin are in that 4 games into this?
Yeah, I think it's very important. I think anytime you call a play, you're talking to the quarterback. We talk to the guys about that all the time. When you call a play, what are we trying to get done with that play? There's certain plays you're working all parts of the play. You're working a full field progression, and based on what the defense gives you. There's other times maybe you're taking a shot. Sometimes you're throwing to a certain receiver. Sometimes the ball's got to get out on time. Sometimes I got to hold it a little bit longer. But that's all the stuff that's done during practice, done in the meeting room. But again, every time you call a play, that play is giving you information as a quarterback of what we're trying to get done on that play.
Fourth row left, Andy.
Yes, Coach, this may sound like a weird question, but the Lantern was riding a Big Ten preview this week. Have you had a chance to watch Wisconsin at all, and what have you seen?
Yeah, I've seen just highlights. I've not studied them at all, but we see them in some crossover games, you know, when we study film. And you know, they're off to a great start, and you know, the quarterback looks like he's in a rhythm. The running back's running hard. Offensive line, as always, is doing a great job, and the defense is swarming to the ball. You know, that's all I can really tell based on what I've seen, but I haven't really studied those guys a bunch.
Can you talk about Jeffrey Okuda and what the ways you've seen him grow since you've been here?
Yeah, I think he's done a good job of taking on the technique that Jeff's teaching him and embracing that. And now I think the big thing for Jeff is now, you know, where are we going to go as we get into the middle of the season here? I think he's flashed, you know, got the interception last week. He's done some good things. But now that, you know, some of this stuff's on film and teams start scheming us up, how are you going to be able to respond to it?
Right next door, Murph.
Ryan, you guys haven't played a full four quarters yet. Nebraska's been in two games where they've had to go the whole length. How does that maybe impact Saturday night?
Well, I think it's a good point to bring up that we have not played a full game. And in four games, you know, that's unique. So it's something we're going to talk to the guys about, is that we have to be able to play 60 minutes and prove that we can play 60 minutes. That has not happened. The good news is we've been picking up some depth, and we've been building depth in these four games, and guys have played so that we feel a little better about putting guys in the game when we need to, and we can roll guys. But to your point, you know, we haven't been in the fourth quarter in a game where we've had to really grind and work through all that adversity. And so that's a challenge going on the road this week, because we will this week.
And last week, you had your first 3:30 game. This will obviously be a night game. Just in terms of game day preparation, how much does that change things when you have to wait around all day as opposed to even afternoon?
I think it's significant when it's like a difference between a noon game and a night game. You know, noon game, you got to get up fast. You got to get up early. I mean, it's like a full metal jacket as you get going, you know. But at a night game, you have to kind of build up to it. 3:30, somewhere in between. But we have our routine. You know, we're still going to have our pregame meal 4 hours before. We'll do our walkthroughs and meetings in the morning, trying to keep those guys moving. We don't want them in their rooms sleeping all day, you know, and getting lethargic. So we'll kind of get them up and do a walkthrough, different things like that. But it's certainly a gradual momentum builder towards kickoff. You know, you can't go win the game at 10:30 in the morning, get them all jacked up, because you're not playing the game then. So there is an art to it, but a lot of our guys have played night games, and so there's experience to build on there.
Third row left, Dan.
Ryan, you guys have blocked a kick or a punt now each of the last three games. What do you think Matt Barnes has done well with those units to allow that to happen?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, he's the leader of the units, and he's somebody that wanted to come in and have a bunch of blocks this year, and he's off to a good start. He's had good scheme, but you know, it's all the assistant coaches are involved in special teams. Got a lot of guys involved with that, and then the players, you know, they're embracing special teams, and I think that goes to show you the culture of Ohio State, is that, you know, our best players are on the field, and they're making blocks, and you know, getting some returns going that way. And so special teams has been a positive for us so far, but we got to keep that building as we go. And again, it's a whole team effort, you know. But Matt is the coordinator, and he's doing a good job.
Obviously, Urban Meyer put a huge emphasis on special teams. How important is that for you to make sure in this first year that none of that emphasis is dropped off?
Yeah, critical. I'm in every special teams meeting, and that's you know, as the play caller and offense coordinator, it's hard to do. You're missing some different times, you know, or with the quarterback and with some of the other position meetings, but I just think it's so important that I'm in all those meetings and making sure I'm on top of it as well, because of what you said. You know, some of the reasons that games have been won around here is because of special teams. We want to keep that going.
Also, Isaiah Pryor made the decision to transfer. Josh Proctor missed last week's game. In terms of your safety depth, what does that do at that position? Is there a concern there at all?
Well, we think that, you know, we have pretty good depth there. You know, we have a bunch of guys, and when we went to the bullet, you know, that kind of opened up some different things for us. And so now you're looking at, you know, you got Jordan, you have Josh, and there's some other guys there that can also play that. Jocelyn Wink could play there. Marcus Hooker can play there. You know, we have some different guys that can fill in there. So we feel pretty good about our depth there.
All right, Austin.
Ryan, what were the conversations with Isaiah like leading up to that?
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a whole bunch of conversation. And, you know, we wish him nothing but the best. We're obviously extremely disappointed that he would leave the program, you know, four games in, but you know, just want to make sure he has everything he needs, and there's no ill will there, you know, and he left, you know, amicably, and so we'll just kind of support him the best we can and wish him nothing but the best of luck getting his degree and moving on.
I think coaches generally seem to like this redshirt rule in the four games. Is this the the trade-off that you have to make, or are you still in favor of it, even knowing this could happen again?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that this is an example of where that hurts you a little bit, but I do think it's the best thing for the kids.
Far left, Matt.
Dovetailing off of the fourth quarter question, you guys have not faced very much adversity this year, maybe a little bit because you fell behind last week, but is there any way to tell how your guys are going to react in the second half close game until it happens, or how do you prepare them for something they haven't had?
Keep talking to them about it, you know, just keep talking to them about what it's going to take. We did going into the Indiana game, it didn't come out that way. So we'll just keep talking to the guys about that and making sure that they realize that. I think the older guys who have been through it before do respect that and understand that. I think the younger guys, they have to learn a little bit how that's going to be. But all you can do is just coach them as hard as you can, inform them of what it's going to be, and give them the tools ready for when adversity hits, how to handle it.
The last couple of years, Ohio State has had road games that just got away from them. Do you as a staff talk about, hey, what happened in those games? Have you reviewed that? And is that something you discuss with the team, or you don't want to, you know, that's the past and you don't want to worry about that?
Yeah, for sure. We talk about it in the offseason. We talk about it in the preseason. We talk about it now. And I think one of the things that we have to continually do, which has been our mantra all along, is, you know, when you're a prize fighter, no matter what match you're into or what fight you're going into, you know, someone's going to try to take you out, and you have to be ready for that. And if you ever let your guard down, you're going to get knocked out. And so that's been something we've talked about in winter workouts. We've talked about in the preseason, bringing it every single day so that, you know, that something like that doesn't happen. So again, you know, you talk about it, you address it, you just keep following up with it, and you just keep hammering away at it.
Second row left, Ari.
Ryan, I know that Garrett Wilson gets a ton of attention, but I was wondering what your take on Jameson's progression is. I think that he has some track speed that, you know, he might not have a lot of. You have a ton of speed,
Frank,
yeah. Like that. You know what I mean? And how would you say that he's progressed? And we kind of got a glimpse of that.
When Jameson got here, we knew his track times were off the charts. We knew his length. We knew his speed. And what we didn't know was how tough he was. This is a guy who's practiced really, really hard. He goes in there and just tries to, I mean, there's a couple of clips of film where he's just throwing his body around. And, you know, that was really impressive to all of us. His work ethic's really good. I think he's got a really bright future ahead of him. Now, again, does he have to learn how to play at this level and all that? Absolutely. Same thing with Garrett. But both of those guys have bright futures.
Right. Bill.
Yeah, Nebraska's got playmakers you maybe have not seen the likes of this year with Robinson and Spielman, and you already mentioned Martinez. How big a challenge is that going to be?
A big challenge. You know, I think all three of those backs get you in different ways. You know, Wandale is really dynamic. You know, he reminds me of the kid from Purdue, and you know, he can be a matchup problem for you if he gets on a linebacker or speed sweeps, things like that. He can do a bunch of different things, a little bit of a hybrid. And the other guys run hard. You know, those two other backs, you know, they run downhill. You know, and they got some receivers. You know, Spielman, like you said, is a playmaker. And then Martinez, you know, you have to be able to, you know, handle his feet too. That's the other part of this thing. So when you combine that all together with the tempo, it's hard to prepare for.
And I know that you've had challenges in every game, and you don't take any game lightly, but is there something different about this week? It almost feels like the preseason is over, that this really starts in earnest this week. Do you get that sense in the building?
Well, I think we're trying to approach every game like it's just one game every week, you know, and we're trying not to make it any bigger than the other weeks. I think anytime you're playing, you know, with game day at their place, this is something we've talked about, you know, for a long time, this game, and we know what a challenge it's going to be to go on the road. And how big of a win it would be to get it on the road at a tough place to play, and they'll be all jacked up. I mean, it's going to be an electric environment with game day there, and so we have to handle that, and that's our first real challenge as a team. So I think there is a little bit of that feel going on, but you know, just want to be 1-0 at the end of the day.
Right next door, Joey.
with Adrian Martinez, and when you guys were recruiting him, how close was he to getting a scholarship here?
Very close, yeah.
What was kind of the decision like there?
So Adrian didn't play his senior year, and you know, he was dealing with a shoulder injury, and I've loved him. He came for, I forget exactly what game it was, but he visited with his family, fell in love with him, great kid. It was just hard for us because there was no senior film, and you know, at the end of the day, we just weren't sure, but had a feeling he was going to be a special player. And so hats off to him. He is a special player, and he's everything, you know, he said he was going to be, and we thought he would be, and he's going to have a bright future, you know, in college and then beyond.
And just looking at your own stats this year, the tempo this year in terms of like plays per minute is a little higher this year. Do you guys feel you're playing faster, or is it early?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's times we're playing fast. I still think it's hard to tell because when in these four games, you know, the second half we haven't been able to really get out there with the ones and finish out a whole game. So tempo is a part of our game, but it's not something we're going to do every week. And we'll just keep, you know, using it as we think it fits.
Second row right,
Todd? There are a lot of questions about Ohio State entering this season. Just new head coach, new defensive staff, transfer quarterback. I mean, you've essentially clicked on all cylinders these first four games. Like, if you go back to July and August and how you maybe envision the season, I mean, do you think you're ahead of schedule at this point?
I don't know. I mean, I do hear what you're saying. I think that we've shown, you know, some flashes and we've played hard, we've played tough, and we've tackled. But I don't think you know until you start to get into the meat of the season. And, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Until you really get going with some of these conference games, you don't really know where you are. I am proud to say that I think we're playing hard. We're playing tough. We're executing. It's clean. You know, there's not a lot of penalties, not a lot of turnovers. Again, but that doesn't mean anything if we don't keep it going. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a solid start, but it's just a start.
Front row right, Tim?
Yeah, Brian, maybe kind of a dumb question, but is an opponent obligated to tell you what uniform it's going to wear for a game? You know what I mean? Color scheme, et cetera.
I don't know that, actually.
The reason I'm just asking because of the all-black, you know, connotation the last couple of years when you guys have played. So you haven't heard what
I haven't, actually. No, yeah. No.
Number two, when you watch Nebraska on video, people over there think they're better defensively this year. What do you see that tells you they are?
I agree with that. I think they are. I think they've added some pieces up front. I think their front is big, strong, powerful. They use their hands well. And then I think, you know, their secondary and linebackers are another year into the system. There's a lot of the guys that have been there last year. And I think they're doing a good job. Anytime you're 2 years into a system, then it's a little bit more intricate. You know, you can get in and out of things. You can make in-game adjustments faster, and they're doing that.
And one other quickie. Did you get home in time to watch some of that, the end of that game the other night, the Illinois?
Yeah, I did.
What just stood out to you about their fourth quarter? I mean, what did you see a spark there? You understand what I'm saying?
I thought the team's
on a ride.
Well, I think when you look at the numbers, I think it was 670 yards to under 300 yards, and I thought they had pretty much dominated the whole game. They just turned the ball over. So if they don't turn the ball over, I don't think that game's even close. So I think, you know, they're playing well.
Over to the right play.
Seems like a lot of growth on offense, and you adapt your plan, obviously, to the opponent. There seems to be new looks, new plays. Is there less a tendency to do that when the margin of error decreases against a tough, tough opponent at night, or do you stay true to yourself and keep growing?
I think that's something that we talk about on a daily basis, and that is, you know, how much new do you need? And then how much do you just want to let the kids play and you know, run the plays they know really well? And I think that's, again, the art of coaching is figuring out that balance. You know, you don't want to just keep running the same plays where schematically you're not giving your guys an advantage, but then you overdo it, and then they're tentative and not sure of themselves. So it certainly matters when you're on the road. I think there's more adversity when you're on the road. There's more things in the environment you have to handle. But again, on a weekly basis, we'll try to make those decisions as we go.
And they've picked up things pretty readily, easily.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. And we do a lot of concept-based teaching so that we're able to kind of jump in and out of things as opposed to just, you know, this is a play, this is a concept, and how do you fit into the concept? And when you do that, it's easier to kind of move formations around, change ideas. Maybe, you know, you run a route, but you just tag one guy. Things like that. It's a little bit more concept-based. And that way we're able to kind of, you know, move in and out of formations or personnel groupings.
Second row right, Tony.
Ryan, when you were devising what kind of defense you wanted, was this one of those, was the Nebraska offense one of those things that you saw that you need a defense that can defend that type of scheme?
No, it wasn't just that. I think that was just an overall decision. I mean, we certainly take into consideration all our opponents in the conference when we go about making, you know, overall general decisions on scheme. But this is one that we certainly have had a lot of conversation about.
And then your receivers, just
overall, you've got Austin Mack with 7 catches this year, graded out a champion 3 times. What does it say about the unselfishness of that group that they're continuing to grade out as champions and maybe not produce?
Well, they're producing. It's just, you know, their time is coming. And when you, you know, I think last week, you know, Austin had, you know, maybe 4 targets or something in the first half. Doesn't play in the second half. He has a touchdown called back. If he plays 2 halves, then, you know, if he doubles that, you know, that's 8 targets, that's 2 touchdowns, that's a good day at the office. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, he didn't play in the second half. He hasn't played in some of those games. And so, you know, really, if you've only played 1 half of football for that, you know, for 4 games, you know, the numbers maybe aren't as high. But I think those guys understand that, and their time's coming real fast.
Third row right, Rob.
Brian, conventional wisdom is that everything in this game cycles. What was before comes back. You've got 2 dual threat quarterbacks. It's hard to see how that's going to go away, that it's going to cycle back to the pocket passer. What are your views on that? Do you see this dual threat guys here to stay, or could it change?
No, I agree with what you're saying. I think that when teams, you know, were more designed to stop, you know, backfield, you know, there were big 3 linebackers, and then teams started to spread it out, and then they kind of went to what we call a bullet or hybrid guys in there. And then, you know, as teams start to spread it out even more, like in the Big 12 and things like that, you know, defenses adjust. And then, you know, they're more 3 down front and things like that. And then all of a sudden, you know, on offense, they start bringing it in a little bit more and start to get a little bit big. So I think it's a combination. And I think if you're talking about the quarterback position, I think you try to find the best available. And then it's your responsibility to find the best plays that fit him. But I do think the ability to spread it out, get big, and have the ability to go in and out of those with tempo is the way to the future.
And kind of the same cliche type idea. You were in the NFL. People talk about one player being able to change a game. Is that accurate? Is that something we just say? And from your experience, how does that play out? How do you game plan that? Chase Young on defense.
Sure. No, I think dominant players can absolutely make an impact on a game. I know he can't just do it alone, but he absolutely can make a difference. You know, one guy, and you know, whether it's, you know, a 3 technique on defense, whether it's a, you know, a safety, whether it's a running back, the quarterback. You know, I think that great players can make an impact on a game for sure.
Far left, Ryan.
Coach, Justin has had to process so much in the time. How would you compare the kid that you see now versus August, April, or January?
Yeah, I think he's 4 games in. He's got you know, a spring and a preseason under his belt, and that's good. But there's still a lot to be learned, a lot to see as we get going in these conference games. So he has grown for sure, and he will continue to grow. And he's got a good approach to him, and he's got the right mindset. But there's going to be adversity along the way, and he's going to have to handle that. And that's, when you look back on all the great quarterbacks, they have to handle that the right way, and they have to improve when things like that come into play and handle it the right way, and he will. But yeah, he's much further along now than he was then.
Has there been a moment or an exchange that you've had where you went, all right, we're there now, we're getting there?
I mean, there's definitely times where we see improvement, and there's always aha moments where you're like, okay, he sees this concept now, but certainly a long way to go.
Second row center, Bruce.
How are the coaching challenges different to get a team with 6 win talent to win 9 or a team with 10 win talent to win 12?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question. I don't know if I have a great answer to that, but certainly, you know, leadership is huge. And so, you know, talent can take you so far, but leadership is what's really important. And then we have to do a great job with our toughness and our effort. You know, those are really important. So, you know, if someone can tell you that they out-toughed you or outplayed you or out-effort, you know, gave better effort than you did, then that's not good. You know, if you can, at the end of the day, you can say, I played tougher, I played smarter, played harder than the other team, and then we were more prepared, emotionally, spiritually, physically, ready to go. I think, you know, you're going to give yourself a chance to get, you know, from whether, again, like if it's 6-8 or 10-12 or whatever it is, you got to take care of those type of things.
I just wonder if it's a harder sell to get guys to believe they can be 3 games better from 500, or to get a team to believe when it's winning 76-5, no, there are things wrong here, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I have a great answer for that either, but that's that's the art of coaching, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. And you just keep going at it every day, and you make the best decisions you can. You try to motivate the staff to a certain message each week, and you just keep hammering away at it, and you teach them.
For you with your team, is it more telling what you see in practice or what you see in games?
It's both. It's both, because you practice more than you play. And, you know, if you see certain things in practice, you typically will see them in a game.
Front row left, Nathan?
Going back to the Justin questions, you know, he seemed kind of excited, you know, not maybe excited is not the right word, but being down early, having a little bit of adversity, obviously hasn't really had his back against the wall yet. Are you trying to, what sort of scenarios are you putting him in practice to kind of try to replicate that and challenge him those ways?
That's usually done in the preseason where you put him up against it, or you know, you get him in the second long drill where you got to play third and move him back, you know, whatever it is. You know, this time it's more about installing the plays, and it's about, you know, learning the concepts that we're putting in the game plan and things like that. And then we talk about adversity. You know, we talk about handling adversity and how those things, as they come up, you know, you handle them like a man. And, you know, you don't cower when things don't go well. And you find a way to solve the problem and come up with solutions. And that's what great leaders do, and that's what good quarterbacks do.
And back to the safety question, now that you guys have changed the defense a little bit and you're playing more of just the one high safety, does that change anything as far as how you're recruiting that position? Like which players you're going after, how many of those players you want?
Yeah, it does for sure. Yeah, we've made some of those adjustments based on the body types we're looking for and the job description that you know, we want out of our corner, safety, cover safety, bullet, those guys.
And right next door, Doug?
We asked you a lot about this before the season started. I'm curious how it's gone 4 games in. Just with you being play caller and the head coach and the other decisions that a head coach has to make with penalties or timeouts or anything, just what's sort of the infrastructure around you to make sure that you can keep all those decisions straight while you're calling plays, and how has it gone?
Yeah, it's gone okay so far. I think we'll keep working on it, but I think now, in game, you know, it's Kevin and Mike and the guys on offense, Stud and those guys on the headset, talking about what adjustments or what we like the next series, what's going on in the last series, flipping over on defense and, you know, being there for those guys, whatever they might need or something I might have seen, talking to special teams, you know, what are we going to do this time around? Are we going to punt? Are we going to go safe? Whatever those conversations are. And then when it comes down to, you know, end of the half stuff, you know, I'm pretty locked in there. Again, Kevin and Mike to kind of let me know if there's something that comes up with timeouts or taking a knee or things like that. But, you know, most of those scenarios have been gone over already, you know, in our Friday walkthrough or during the week. And then off the field, it's you know, everybody here. It's Mark, it's Ryan Stamper, it's Volt and Quinn and those guys. They've done a great job of, you know, keeping a lot of things off my plate during the week.
Is it when you're trying to think of like, well, how, even if you're not on offense in that moment, we're trying to attack them, what are we going to do next? The idea of like, oh, this penalty just came up. Wait, but we could decline it. We could accept it. Like something like that in the moment. Do you always know exactly? Can you think of everything in the moment in your head right there? Or does it help if someone says, hey, think about this because you have a million things in your head? Or are you?
I like it quiet. I like it quiet so that because I think sometimes too many people could just make it confusing. And so I kind of like it as quiet as you can on the headset. And then, you know, when the conversation needs to be had, it's had. But I think sometimes, and there's too many voices, it just gets confusing.
And then, I'm sorry if this is like a 6-minute question, but when the difference of calling plays as a offensive coordinator and as a head coach, not in the logistical sense, but in the sort of the weight you feel of it or your responsibilities of it, I would imagine that it could be that like, hey, when you're the offensive coordinator, you know, I'm just worried about the offense. I can do what I want. The head coach has to worry if I put the defense in a bad spot. And then when you're the head coach, it's like, man, I'm not just thinking a flea flicker here would be cool. I've got to think, what does this mean for our defense? What does it mean for special teams? I would think maybe as a head coach, you want to be collaborative. You want to make sure everybody has their own voice. But also I would maybe think as a head coach, you think like, finally, I get to do whatever I want. Right?
Very, very comprehensive question you have. About that.
I like to lay out all the scenarios, and then you can pick one.
My answer is yes.
Yeah. I've heard that. Like,
no, I hear exactly what you're saying.
It is different.
I think that I take a lot of pride in the fact that, and I think all the guys on offense, is that it's not about just scoring the most amount of points or just, you know, getting the most amount of yards and trying to pad your stats. It's about what, you know, the plan to win and winning. But I do think, you know, you notice the defense, you know, and I think as time goes on, hey, maybe the defense has been on the field a little bit. They're a little tired, may want to slow down here, or hey, defense is rolling pretty good. Let's pick up the pace on this thing. I think you do see it from a little bit of a wider scope. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to do what's best for the team, and that's always been the case.
And what percent of it is I'm the guy in charge, I finally can do exactly what I want to do? Is there some component of that I'm not fitting my ideas to, you know, the head coach has the final say, we all work on it together. Is there some freedom in that of like, this is exactly how I want to run offense?
I think we've always done it that way where, it, you know, everybody gets into a room, we put it on the board. Once it's on the board, we all agree on it and it's a group effort. And, you know, that's everybody involved. That's not just me. And, you know, whether it's, you know, Kevin, Mike, Stud, the guys on defense, it's Greg, it's Jeff, it's all those guys involved in it. So it's not just one person. And, you know, I think sometimes there's really good arguments. There's good, you know, back and forth. But then once we leave that room, we come up with the right decision, and then we all support it.
He really wants to know if you throw it four times from the 5-yard line.
There are parallels. I'm sorry.
Coach, thank you very much. Thanks, Ryan.